Welcome to our sermon series entitled The Core. The Bible can be an overwhelmingly long book, but in this sermon series we will examine the five most important books in the Old Testament and the five most important books in the New Testament. Clear thinking about these 10 books will make it easier for you to understand the entire Bible. Today's sermon title, The Problem of Evil. Open your Bible to the book of Habakkuk, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God who speaks to us and says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because you are the God who overcomes evil with good. Open the eyes of our understanding to the book of Habakkuk so we can have new insight into the problem of evil. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My life group and I have prayed the last couple of weeks for a family in Cleveland. A little girl, 6 years old, fell asleep watching TV in her living room on the couch. That night, evil men drove by the house, did a drive-by shooting. One of the bullets went through the wall, through the couch, hit that little girl, and killed her. 6 years old. Now, you can give me any sociological explanation for that you want. That's evil. There's no sociological explanation for it. I don't care where you were born. I don't care how you were treated. When you drive by a house and shoot a six-year-old girl sleeping in a couch, that's evil. Church. And ever since people have recognized evil, it's created the question, why does God let this stuff happen? What is he doing that a man can drive by an innocent girl's house while she's sleeping on the couch and murder her? And that's a fair question. And if our faith is real, there are answers to that. It is an honest question, and the Bible should have honest answers. Viktor Frankl was a victim of Nazi concentration camps. When he was a young man, he was swept up and put in a concentration camp, but he lived. And he wrote one of the most powerful books of the 20th century, and its title is Man's Search for Meaning. And listen what he says. He experienced evil when it was dominant. He experienced what happens when evil is dominant in the world. And listen what he wrote in his book. We who lived in the concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of human freedoms, to choose one's own attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. This is what Frankl says. Frankl says, it's true, we can't always control evil. But even when evil seems to be in charge, there's one thing evil can't do. It can't decide what my attitude is going to be while I encounter it. And oddly enough, 600 years before Christ, there was a prophet named Habakkuk. And he went to God with his problem of evil. This is another book in the Bible that is all poetry. The entire three chapters are poetry. And Habakkuk says in a poetic way to God, "What are you doing?" See, sometimes poetry is a beautiful way of saying very hard things. So listen what Habakkuk says to God. He's surrounded by evil, and listen what he says. "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. The law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." This is what Habakkuk is saying. I'm looking around, and everywhere I see evil winning. Here's what he's saying. Every night when I watch the news, you know what I see? Evil winning. When I go to work, I see evil winning. When I look at simple things like kids eating and drug dealers. Drug dealers have all the money, and kids go hungry. And Habakkuk said, "I got a problem with that." And so I have cried to you before about this problem, and I don't feel like you're listening. I've pointed out violence to you. I've said, "God, look at this violence. Look at this 6-year-old girl dying on her couch." But you didn't save. You made me see it. And I don't understand how you could see the same thing I saw and not do anything. That's pretty edgy, church. It's remarkable how you can talk to God when you really know him. God does not get angry at Habakkuk when he says this. He answers him. He says, "Habakkuk, it might be worse than you think." He said, "You really haven't seen how evil can get. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from them. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand." God said to Habakkuk, "Yeah, I've seen what you see. I've seen the very same thing. and I'm bringing justice. And the justice I'm bringing is more horrible than the evil you have complained to me about. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but that unnerves me. God said, yeah, I've seen it all. And guess what? I'm bringing something more horrible on the violence and the evil that you've talked about than you can imagine. The violence that is coming from the Chaldeans is worse than the violence and the evil that you're complaining about in Jerusalem. So Habakkuk says, well, how can you do that? How is that fair? Chapter 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall die. God, you may be eternal, but we're temporary. You may see the long picture, but we can't see it. O Lord, you have ordained them as judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are purer of eyes than to see evil and cannot look on a wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallow up the man more righteous than he? Habakkuk says back to God, okay, I'm not getting any of this. First of all, I don't understand how you let Jerusalem get so wicked. And now I know the Babylonians are worse than we are, and you're going to bring them here, and they're going to destroy everything, and I don't understand you and your sense of justice at all. Bible's pretty honest. That's pretty direct talk to God. And then he says, I'm not going to let this go. This isn't a passing fad with me. Chapter 2, verse 1, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and I will answer and what I will answer concerning my complaint. This is what he says. This is such a big problem. I'm not letting go on it. I'm gonna take my stand and I'm gonna watch and I'm expecting you to do something that is consistent with who you told me you were. And God said to him, Habakkuk, that's just fine with me. That is just fine with me. But I'm demanding two things of you. The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. This is a poetic way of saying, write this down so simply, somebody can memorize it and be able to run off and tell it to anybody. I want this to be simple. My answer to your attitude in the face of evil is simple. It's not complex. It's not a long philosophical argument. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not delay. God's first answer to evil is, don't judge anything too soon. God's first answer to evil is, don't make up your mind too soon. Just because the evil one seems to prosper now, wait and see what their end is. Church? When you look at history, What happens to the most evil and the most violent people? They don't end well. It doesn't end well for them. Yes, that drug dealer compiled millions of dollars and was violent in doing it. And it looked for a while like nothing was going to happen. But the day of God's justice and reckoning came, and what was the end of that drug dealer? Church? The violent soul that seemed to get away with it forever, what was their ultimate demise? Hitler, who looked like he was going to control the world with his insanity and his brutality and his genocide, died with a self-inflicted bullet wound in the head. Church, God said, don't make up your mind too soon that I'm not going to deal with evil. I am going to deal with evil. I may not be on your timetable, but if you wait, you will see that justice prevails. Now, this is important for some of you because you've been touched by evil. You have been touched by evil. I know what it means to be touched by evil. A man with his third drunk driving charge hit my family on a Saturday afternoon and changed Sharon's life forever and left some of my kids with post-traumatic stress syndrome that we didn't know anything about then. I know what it feels like to be touched by evil. But listen to what God says. Do not make up your mind too quickly. The vision of justice will happen. And if you wait, you will see the triumph of God's justice. Church. The first attitude I choose when I'm confronted and surrounded by evil is I'm not deciding too quickly. I'm going to say, I'm going to see what God does. There is time for him to work. Justice is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And then there is another thing God says to Habakkuk. I want you to wait. Don't make up your mind too soon. And then he says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Now, there's a double statement here. One is about being puffed up, and the other one is about living by faith. Paul quotes this, the righteous one shall live by faith twice in the New Testament. Once in Romans, once in Galatians. Now, let's say, what does he mean? What is the poetry? His soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. In the face of evil, God wants to teach me something. God can even use evil for a higher purpose. Do you ever consider your own evil? Or are you one of the kind of people who say, I'm not so bad, I'm not as bad as this, I'm not as bad as that? I'm not asking you, are you the worst of the worst? I'm asking you, do you ever consider your own evil? Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror honestly? I'll use myself as an example. I want God to find the guy who shot that little girl, and I want him to be brutalized. I'm sorry, God has a lot of work to do on my heart. And it's easy for me not to like that guy. And it's easy for me to want God to bring swift justice. But when I look at my own life, no, I've never murdered anybody, but I've been angry, I've been rude, I've been a jerk. And I don't want God to judge me quickly for it. I want God to give me time for repentance. Anyone? In my heart, I have wanted to ram people with my truck. You know, Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it already. I have really, really crushed people with my truck. I don't want God to judge me quickly for that. I want God to create some space for repentance. Church, God is saying to Habakkuk, you can be puffed up and think you're perfect. You can get it in your head that because you're not as bad as these people, there's nothing wrong with you. But if you have that idea, you totally misunderstand how repulsed God is by all evil, not just the evil that repulses us. Church, God isn't just repulsed by the worst of evil, he's also repulsed by the evil that is normal in our lives. And God says to Habakkuk, you got two choices here, buddy. You can be puffed up and say, I'm not as bad as those people. Why don't you bash them? Or you can say, I get it. God is so great, he even manipulates evil for a bigger purpose, so I'm going to live by faith in him. When I see evil around me, I'm going to let it trigger my faith in God. I'm not going to be puffed up. I'm not going to act like there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not going to act like I've never made a mistake. And I'm going to say, in the very same way, dear God, please give me time to repent. By faith, I'm going to say, dear God, you can bring this evil to a conclusion and a repentance. And I pray that you do. Can you hear this, church? I get to choose how I respond to evil. And here's what God said. I want these to be your choices. One, don't judge anything before the time. Wait. If they don't get it right and if they don't make it right, God will bring justice. But wait. And then he says, don't be puffed up. Don't act like there's nothing wrong with you. When you see evil, put a greater faith in my ultimate power and my ultimate justice to deal with evil. And then God says to Habakkuk, let me make this easier for you. This will help you to have faith. He said, you don't think I see it? I see it. And I've already pronounced woe on it. I've already said, I've already judged it. And in chapter 2, there are 5 woes. Habakkuk, you don't think I see it. Let me tell you what I see, and I've already said is wrong. Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. The Chaldeans are just gathering plunder and heaping it up. And God said, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see the wicked men in Jerusalem plundering the righteous. I see the Pharisee take the widow's house and for a pretense make a long prayer. I see it. And I've already pronounced a woe upon it. Verse 9, woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. God said, I see these evil people who are using evil to enrich themselves. They're building a nice, huge house out on Johnson Island with money that they stole from the county of Cuyahoga County. I see it. And there'll be a day of justice for it. And sure enough, there was a day of justice for it. Those beautiful houses are still out there, but the people who stole money to build them, they're in jail. Can you hear this? God says, I see it, and I've already pronounced a woe on it. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city with iniquity. God said, I saw ISIS build their city. I saw them build, I saw them build their power places. I saw the evil they did. I saw the blood they spilled. And I have a judgment for all of that in its proper time. Verse 15. Woe to him that makes his neighbor drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. God said, yes, I see the manipulation. I see how evil people manipulate, and I've already pronounced a woe on it. Verse 19, woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, and to a silent stone, arise. God said, I see the false worship. I see these false religions. I see what they do to people. And I've already pronounced a woe on it. And then God says something to Habakkuk about his attitude. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You know what he's saying? Hey, Habakkuk, you don't know everything. Maybe you should just be still and learn for a minute. Can we hear that? When we see evil, instead of judging God for what he does and doesn't do, could we have a moment of stillness where we simply say, God, I don't get this, but I do trust you. And I'm going to be still and see if your Holy Spirit won't speak something wise and good and nurturing to my heart. Church, I can learn from God without accusing him of being incompetent. Church, because I don't understand doesn't mean God is incompetent. Because I can't see how to fix it doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. Because it seems to me like injustice triumphs, it doesn't mean that there's not a day of reckoning. And so God says to us the very same thing that he said to Habakkuk. When you are overwhelmed and surrounded by evil, that's a time to remember that the Lord is in his holy temple. He's still in charge. Evil hasn't ousted God from his holy temple. He's still in charge, and why don't you just calm down a little bit and sit silently in the presence of God and see if he can't strengthen you and affirm you. Church? So now, Habakkuk hears all this. And something very remarkable happens. In chapter 3, he stops looking at evil, takes his attention off the evil in Jerusalem, takes his attention off the evil of the Babylonians who are coming, and he lifts his attention up to the Lord who is in his holy temple. He changes what he's looking at. Chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of years, revive it. in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. Teman was a very, very rich city south of Jerusalem. It was an oasis city. It was a place of great wealth and power. And Mount Paran was not far from there. And when this was written, everybody knew to say, God came from Teman means God came from a place even richer than Teman is, and even more, and even a greater fortress than the fortress at Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. He starts by saying the earth is full of violence. Everywhere I look, evil is in triumph. Now he's turned his eyes off of that, and he's turned his eyes to God, and he says, the whole earth is full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand. And there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. Church, this is poetry. And he's saying that the majesty and the glory of God was so awesome, it's like recreating the landscape. Now, do you have this? When he looked at the evil of the world, he was overwhelmed and said, God, what are you doing? When he turned his eye off the evil, when he shut off cable news and opened the Bible and let the Holy Spirit whisper to him a little bit, now his view changes. Now he doesn't see the triumph of evil. Now he sees the splendor, the praise, the brightness, the power, the everlasting ways of God. Would we all do well to turn our eyes away, turn our focus away from evil, and lift our focus up to the Lord who is in his holy temple, who is wise and powerful and good and righteous and just, who promises that there will be justice, who promises that the praise of him will cover the whole earth because he deserves it. And then Habakkuk said, after I thought about God, after I turned my attention from evil to God, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet, I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. You know what he's saying? God, when I think about you, I'm ruined. When I see you in your glory and your majesty, I tremble. My lip quivers. I can't hardly stand up. And that gives me the attitude I need to wait for your justice. And then this book ends with one of my favorite poems anywhere in the world. I liked this poem before I understood the book. Now remember, poetry is verbal images. The poetry wants me to create an image in my mind. See if you can create this image. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In an agrarian culture, he just described the worst possible thing that could ever happen. The fig trees don't produce any figs. The vines don't produce any grapes. There's no olive. The grain and the wheat, those fields are empty. There's no flocks and there's no herds. Everything you think you can trust in is gone. It didn't happen. Your business failed. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk said, I see everything differently now. My salvation doesn't come from my success in my career and in my business. My salvation doesn't come from the government doing what I want them to do. My salvation comes from the Lord. In a world in which I am surrounded by evil, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. When the cultured and cultivated world is overrun by evil, God said, I make you like a deer in the wilderness that still thrives. Church, is there a problem of evil? Yes. But is there a reasonable answer to the problem of evil? Yes. God says, here's my answer to evil. Wait. Don't judge anything too soon. There is justice on the way. Don't be puffed up. Trust me. Live by faith. God says, here's your solution to evil. Rejoice in the Lord. Take joy in the God of your salvation. Believe that the Lord is your strength, even in a world that is filled with evil. Church, I can live with this. This helps me tomorrow. And that's why Habakkuk is one of the most important books in the Old Testament. Our dear Heavenly Father, I hope in you. I too see evil. And sometimes I feel the response that Habakkuk had. But I'm glad that your Holy Spirit reminds me that I got issues. I'm glad that your Holy Spirit reminds me that I want you to take your time and give me room for repentance. And so I commit myself to you to wait and to have faith in Christ. I commit myself to you to see you as my source of joy and strength. And I pray that this would be a reality for the whole church. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.